some of them would just straight up taste like vinegar. And actually, I would drink a little vinegar, but just like a little shot. But okay, most people probably wouldn't do that. I love acidity. Welcome to the Beer Feelings Podcast, where together we are indulging in life and craft beer. This show is all about demystifying the craft beer industry in a fun and flirty way for beer beginners or for beer lovers who are hungry to learn more. My name is Natalie Jones. I'm the friend you never knew you had. And today I'm going to be your beer guide. Now, September 8th is National Sour Beer Day. So it's only appropriate that on this week's episode, we are going to dive into all things tart and we are going to talk about what makes sour beers special. Before we dive into this week's episode, I want to talk to you a little bit about my last weekend. So last weekend, I hung out with the ladies of Life's Too Short Fitness at their Ladies Trail Retreat. It was an amazing group of women. And if you're here in the Denver area, or if you're looking for a Colorado adventure, absolutely go check out Life's Too Short Fitness. Lauren Jones, the owner, used to be my boss, has taught me a thing or two. She puts together these amazing experiences. So my gal pal, Kathy Beekman, and I hosted one of our arts and craft beer workshops. And oh my gosh, we had so much fun. Without going into too many details, at these workshops, what Kathy and I do is Kathy will lead how to paint a certain painting. And then I will pair certain beers with different pieces of that painting to help everybody explore the flavors in a totally one-of-a-kind way. So let's just, for example, say drink a cream ale while we're painting clouds, and we'll be inspired by how smooth everything is. So as you can imagine, it's a great time, especially when you're surrounded by great people and beautiful scenery. So if you want to see exactly what this looked like, head on over to the Beer Feelings Instagram. Posted a couple pictures earlier this week. If this sounds even remotely like your kind of thing and you want to host it maybe for some colleagues or a group of friends, go ahead, shoot me an email or a message, and Kathy and I would be happy to host an arts and craft beer workshop with you. Or I can always put together like a fun and flirty beer tasting. So hit me up. You guys know where to find me. All right, let's head into all the good and let's chat about sours. Quick disclaimer before we totally dive in. Sours are one of my favorite styles. I could talk about the flavors in them and how they make me feel all day. But on these episodes where we're really honing in on one specific style, I want to give you guys a little bit more information, either into the history, telling the stories of how beers got there, or a little bit more behind the science. So part of what this means is I get to explore with you and I get to learn with you, which is super exciting, but I do want to give credit where credit is due. A lot of where I receive the information for today's episode is through The Complete Beer Course, which is a book that my boyfriend gave me for my birthday. So thank you, Aaron, for that. The Complete Beer Course, and it is by Joshua Bernstein. So a lot of the information from there, as well as from a variety of different blogs that I perused over the past couple of months. So just know I'm learning with you guys. Even if you're new in the industry, you are not alone in the fact that we are exploring together. On this episode, we're going to cover a few different sour topics. First, we're going to talk about what the hell is a sour? What does it taste like? How are sours made? Then we're going to chat a little bit about what types of things do you need to like in order to like sours, or why would it be a good style for you? And then we'll wrap things up with a couple of Natalie tips on really how to get the most out of your sour. So let's start at the beginning. What the hell is a sour? What can I expect when I have some of this juicy goodness in my glass? So this style tends to be pretty broad. We can have a very delicate sour, like almost a delicate sweet, think like cherry blossoms, a sour. We can go as kind of cheek puckering as those little Warhead candies. And we can even go into like this funky realm that's almost like farmyard, farmhouse, in the field. If you've tried one of those, you know exactly what I mean. But definitely really, really broad range of flavors here, large spectrum. Now, many times sours are brewed with fruits. The reason why that is because if they weren't, some of them would just straight up taste like vinegar. And actually, I would drink a little vinegar, but just like a little shot. But okay, most people probably wouldn't do that. I love acidity. But the fruits that we add in, man, got to get back on track now. Sorry, quick story. I remember when I was still single and I was still like going out. Oh my gosh, this is going to be a fun tangent. I drank a little bit too much and I knew that I wasn't going to feel well in the morning. And one of the friends that I was out with said, oh, just go home and drink like a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. And I went home with my roommate and I was like, I just can't do this. There's no, like, I cannot put that in my body. So we mixed it with water and I just, oh my God, that was like the worst thing I've ever consumed. I can still feel like the burning in my throat. So I did feel better though in the morning. So there's an unexpected Natalie story for you, but, yes, that's why we add fruit in to sours. So they don't taste like that. Now the fruit notes can be really pronounced. They can be a little more delicate, both in just the fruit used as well as the amount used. So we can think like really bold cherries, very light pears, totally up to the brewer. But as a whole, hops and grains, as far as those flavors, tend to take a backseat. As a matter of fact, some brewers will mix their grain bill just so it's a little more light so that the sour nature, that acidity, can really be at the forefront. This beer, in my opinion, is a great starter beer for people who tell you, oh, I just don't like beer. I don't like hops. I don't like how it tastes. Like, okay, just give them a sour. We're going to start in this funky space and then we'll move to something more traditional. So that's what I think sour beers taste like. Now let's talk a little bit about how they are made. So going back to our beer roots, we still have the four main ingredients, right? We have water, hops, grain, and yeast. I always get those mixed up, but we have all of these. There's a little extra special ingredient that goes into sours. It's either going to be more yeast, like a special wild funky yeast, or bacteria. And the beer is inoculated with these magical little substances. And what they do is they create more acid. And that's what you're tasting, that sour kind of pucker. That's just a more acidic beverage. So think about sour beers in the same way as like kombucha or sourdough or yogurt. These are things that all millennials love, especially making it through the pandemic. So if you are at home making sourdough starters, then you're probably going to like sour beers. But it's those types of happy little bacterias that go in and they make it taste a little more tart. Now, there are two main ways that we can capture those little special magical substances. We can either let it happen spontaneously, or we can force the fermentation. So when we're spontaneously fermenting, what a fun phrase that is, spontaneously fermenting. I also like inoculate. That's a word that comes up a lot in sours. It's strangely come up in just my day-to-day a lot. So you can inoculate your beer. The beer could be inoculated. So challenge for you this week, use the word inoculate and spontaneous. So man, I don't know where my brain is today, but I am all over the place, but it is all in good fun. So when we're doing spontaneous fermenting or fermenting kind of more like how it's done in nature, there are no guarantees. So it's exciting for a brewer to do this because it's possible that each batch could be better than the last. It could be that there's like a new flavor that wasn't planned that is really beautiful and exciting that shows up. It is also possible that it totally straight up sucks. So special and magical and beautiful, but a little bit more risky. Now, how do we accomplish this, right? Like, we're probably not going to go like cook some beer in a random stream because it probably would get bad bacteria in it. And we only want the good bacteria. So the two ways that kind of are most common are either cool ships, they're called, where the beer is cooked basically, like you cook it with all of your ingredients. And then as you're cooling it down, you put them in these big troughs that have a lot of surface area on top. And basically what it's doing is it sits out in the open air and you're inviting other yeasts that are kind of hanging out around to come settle in the beer and come to like the cool kids party. The other thing that you can do is you can take the beer, and when you're fermenting it, you can put them in kind of conditioned barrels that have the magical little yeasts and bacteria, and they soak in from the outside of the barrel and they do their magic kind of working inward. So those are the two ways that you can spontaneously ferment. Of course, you can have a little bit of control in there, right? But for the most part, like, we're counting on nature doing its thing. Force fermenting, on the other hand, you're going to have a little more control and a little less magic. So the ways that we can do that is we can straight up take some of that lactic acid that is produced by the magical bacteria and the yeast. The lactic acid is the after product. We can just straight up put that in the beer. We can cut out the middleman. So that's option number one. Option number two is we can add in acidulated malt. I'm pretty sure that's how it's pronounced, but someone correct me if it's not pronounced acidulated. So malt that's a little more acidic. Or another creative way that we can do this and kind of force the fermentation and force the sour is we can boil the grains. And then afterwards, kind of when we're going to let it ferment, we can put some raw grains in there as well, because there are happy bacteria that live on the outsides of grains that get cooked out when you're boiling. We can just say, okay, we saved a few, let's add them in at the end. So that's how we can force ferment. So we have spontaneous, we have forcing. In the end, it ends up being a beautiful product. So that's the main difference. These little magical creatures, in my mind, I'm imagining my dentist has this really like cute mobile of like little monsters with fairy wings. And that's how I imagine these like extra bacteria and yeast strains, is like these funky little magical creatures that, oh my gosh, this will be an episode for the books. My goodness. All right. So we talked about how is the sour made? We talked about what do they taste like? Let's get into probably why you're here is why on earth would I drink this style? What types of things that I'm already eating can kind of compare to a sour? So in general, if you like sour candy, great. So Lemonheads, Sour Patch Kids, Sour Skittles, Warheads, anything that's more acidic that makes your cheeks pucker, you're probably going to like sour beer. If your go-to salad dressing is a vinaigrette or anything with any kind of vinegar, if you like caprese salad with a big swish of balsamic vinegar, you're probably going to like sours. If you like any kind of zippy sauce, like a chimichurri, sours are going to be for you. And finally, just if you like citrus in general, so you eat grapefruit in the morning, or when there's a lemon wedge or a lime wedge on the side, you're always squeezing it onto the food, then chances are you probably like things that are more acidic. You're probably going to like a sour. Now, keep in mind, the spectrum for sours is pretty vast. So just because you don't like one sour, you know, if kind of what I described sounds like things that you like to eat, don't give up on sours if the first one you try isn't for you. But I love sours. My dad hates sours. My mom's kind of in the middle. So it's just a big happy family. As you try them, let me know. Send me an Instagram message or an email, info@beerfeelings.com. I'm so curious to hear what you guys are drinking. So finally, let's go ahead. Let's wrap things up, right? With some quick Natalie tips on how to get the most out of your sours. My preferred glass of choice when it comes to drinking the tart beer is a tulip. So a nice bulb at the bottom, it's going to have curves like a lady, gives that bold punch of flavor, lots of room to move around. We're going to concentrate it in kind of a tapered lip, and the taper at the top will give you some foam so you can really enjoy the aroma of your sour and see what you're diving into. So tulip is my glass of choice. As far as food pairing suggestions, I personally like to contrast my beers. So kind of hit two different things on the flavor spectrum. So when I'm drinking something really tart, I like to pair it with either something super salty or something super rich so that I can use the beer as a tool to kind of cleanse my palate as I go. You can definitely pair your sour with something light and bright. So maybe like some zippy tacos, a fresh salad. And, you know, a really great pairing tactic is if it grows together, it goes together. So if you are drinking a peach beer, eat something that grows in peach season. So kind of grows around 4th of July. So those are my tasting tips. And then my favorite sours in the world, I'm going to commit to a favorite on this one. If you've listened to, I think it was episode 2 or 3, I did not commit to favorites. This one, I can confidently commit. My favorite sours are from Finkel and Garf Brewing Company in Boulder, Colorado. If you see any sour by them, pick it up off the shelf, buy everything they have. In particular, I really love the cherry and black currant sour. It was around last summer and I believe the summer before. So Finkel and Garf, if you're listening, for me, please bring that back. And then they also have a kick-ass sorbet series. So it is more, honestly, I mean, it tastes like sorbet for grownups. So those are my favorites, Finkel and Garf, speedy, quick Natalie tip. That is it for today's episode. I hope you guys try a sour. Like I said, I want to know what you guys are drinking. I want to know, you know, were my descriptions helpful? Do you have, you know, other opinions of sours? Have you tried it? Do you love it? What are you eating it with? I want to know all the things. So send me a message, hit me up on Instagram. Beer Feelings is where I am in all the places. And if you happen to have just a speedy, quick minute, I would love, love, love if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts to help other beer newbies like yourself find the show. Or if you're an expert, it's going to help other experts. It's going to help everybody find the show. And we're going to drink beer together and hold hands. And it's just going to be really beautiful. But wrapping things up today, no matter what you are doing, I hope you're doing it with a great beer in hand. And maybe after listening to this episode, it's going to be a sour. And I hope there are even better people by your side. See you next week. Cheers.